Scripture reading today is from Ephesians 4, verse 17 to chapter 5, verse 14. On your pew Bible, it is found on pages 1345. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, and rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed, are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.
I'll tell you why we sometimes have this confusion is, I'm deathly afraid of turning this mic on during the hymn. Deathly afraid of that. And so I don't turn it on until I come up here. Even though they have assured me that it's not on, I just, if my singing voice comes through there, it's just going to destroy the spirit of worship here. So please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. While you're turning there, I'd like to encourage you, if you haven't thought of it, that Grace School is here to really deepen our understanding of who God is. For those who would like to go deeper and study, we're actually taking on the doctrine of the Trinity tonight. And one of the goals is that we would just know God better, and that we would understand the beauty and complexity of this triune God. And we're going to look at some of the Orthodox confessions, the Athanasius Creed and Nicene Creed eventually, and how we understand this doctrine. But more than anything, it's to appreciate and love God more. So I want to encourage you, if you'd like to come out, anybody's invited, that's 4:30 this evening. We meet twice a month, and there's assignments, and people do study ahead, but That's what we're going to do. We're studying the dynamics of God's grace, and I wanted, two weeks ago, I preached on Romans 6, 1 through 11. And for background for that, I want to read that text before we pray to remind us of what Paul said there. But I actually want to begin at 5:20 and then go down through. So follow along with me if you have your Bibles open. Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we had been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, help us, we pray, as we study your word now. We ask, Father, that you would renew our minds. And in renewing our minds, you would transform us, our whole being, that we would not be conformed to this world, but that we would be transformed. And so, Father, we pray that you would please help us. Father, we just, as Henry prayed, we just come here each week feeling the conforming pressures and temptations of this world. And we come here to have our minds renewed and to have ourselves transformed. And so we ask that you would bless us. Bless us as we look at your word and as we study it. Bless us as we seek to apply it to ourselves. Bless us, Father, that we would actually be transformed people as we work these things out in our lives. We've come here to hear from you through your word. Speak to us, we pray, by the power of your spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Up at Albion Prison, I've had the chance to meet a very, very gifted and delightful young man. And I was driving home with Scott last week, and I was asking about him because I just sense that this kid just oozes of leadership and such. And Scott was telling me a story. He said, this young man is in prison for life, and he's in prison for life because he murdered somebody. And he may have actually murdered many people. And the reason is because he was a national leader of one of the most terrorizing gangs in America. And so he's in Albion Prison. And while he was in prison, he came to know the Lord. And the transformation in this young man's life is absolutely striking. It is absolutely striking. Well, he came to Scott's office a while back, very, very kind of nervous, keyed up a little bit. And Scott said, what's going on? And he said, well, I'm going out to the yard here after I leave here, and I'm going to announce to the gang that I'm leaving, and I'm going to get severely beaten up. Because you don't just leave the gang, you get beaten up. But he said, I've trusted in Jesus Christ alone, and I'm going to follow and serve him and not this gang. And so he and Scott prayed together, and he went out determined to cut his ties with the gang. And he went out, he gathered the gang together, and he was actually their leader. And he told those guys, he said, guys, I love you guys, but I'm telling you that I now have a new Lord and Savior. It's Jesus Christ. I'm going to follow him, and I'm no longer a part of this gang. I'm leaving. And miraculously, in answer to prayer, they guys did something that they normally don't do. They blessed him. They said, okay, we believe you, we bless you, go. And he was out of the gang. And others have since come to know. And when I preached last week, he was sitting right where Henry is. He was sitting right up front. This guy is dead serious. But what if the only way to get out of a gang is to die? We're going to put you in a gang, but you can only get out of that gang if you die. Well, that's kind of the situation that we are in. We are under the reign of sin when we were born, the sin and death. Adam has brought us as a race under this reign of sin and death. And the only way to get out of this is to die, is to die. But Jesus Christ came as the second Adam, and he came into this realm of sin and death, although he was sinless, and he died on our behalf as our head, as our new Adam. And his death has direct implications upon us. And he rose again from the dead. He's no longer under that realm of sin and death and the law. He rose again from the dead, and we are in him. And that's what Paul is talking about here when he's talking about our salvation. And this is what we looked at 2 weeks ago. We have been transferred through faith in Christ. We have been transferred from the kingdom of sin and darkness and transferred into under the realm of grace. So notice verse 21, it says this, 5:21, I'm sorry. So that as grace reigned in death, even so grace might, I'm sorry, sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've been transferred into the kingdom and the reign of grace. And that has huge implications for our lives. And that's what Paul is saying in chapter 6, the part we just read. People say, well, okay, well, should I sin then so that grace may abound? And he said, no, don't you realize that you died with Christ? When Christ died, you died. Because this union that you have with Christ, when Christ died, you died. When Christ was buried, you were buried. When Christ rose again from the dead to live to the glory of the Father, you rose with him. And so now that's what you symbolize in your baptism, death, burial, and resurrection. Now live in newness of life and be done. Be done with that old reign, that old gang, as it were. Be done with that. And so verse 11, and this is what we applied last week, verse 11, or 2 weeks ago, he says, therefore, likewise also reckon yourselves. And here he's dealing with their identity. Understand yourself. Logically conclude. The logizomai is the word. Logically conclude. Account. It's an accounting word. Account yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to its reign. I'm dead to the realm. I'm dead to its power. I'm dead to those things. And I'm alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, we're gonna follow Paul's argument now down through the rest of this passage. So if your Bibles are open before you, Paul begins, we're going to look at 11 through 23. Paul begins this with a series of commands. He gives us four commands that we're supposed to follow. The first one we've just looked at, verse 11, reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You have been emancipated from the slavery of sin. You have been freed. We have been freed from the power and reign of sin. We are emancipated from it. And then this logically leads to a call of action. And the call of action then is the next verse. So command number one, reckon yourselves dead to sin. Command number two, look at verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Command two, don't let sin reign in you. You're no longer under its reign. Don't let it reign in you. Now, what does he say? He says, look at the verse. He says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Your mortal body. In this body and this personality and this actually means more than just the fleshly body. It means the entire you. One commentator said it's the person in contact with the world. It's you. Don't let sin reign in you anymore. To obey, notice what it says, to obey, the word could be translated submit to its lusts. Don't let that happen. You have been born anew. You are a new creation. You have died with Christ. You have risen with Christ. You've been transferred from the realm of sin to the realm of righteousness. That's who you are. That's who you are. Now, we have to nuance this. So I'll use myself as an example. Look at me standing here, okay? I am a child of God. I am no longer under the reign of sin. I have been born again. I have been given a new heart. I am a new creation. I am all of those things. I am alive from the dead. I am a citizen of heaven. That's what you see right here. But do you notice something else? I'm old. I'm bald. I've got wrinkly skin. I've got age marks. I'm creaky. I walk slower. What's that all about? Well, this body that I have right now, I got from Adam. This is a leftover vestige from where, if I was a slave in American slavery and I was beaten and I was emancipated, I could very well have scars on my back. I'm a free man now, but I have scars on my back. Well, the same way, I have this disease-ridden body that's dying that I got from Adam. Now, I'm going to get a new body. I am. Now, if I die, I'm going to go in the grave. Then when Jesus returns, he's going to bring me up right out of the grave. He's going to give me a new body. I'm going to have a new body, and it's going to be glorious like his body. It's going to be glorious. But what would be really cool is if Jesus came back in my lifetime. Okay? Because if Jesus comes back in your lifetime, guess what? You don't have to die. Okay? You are changed, the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So if Jesus comes back this afternoon and old Todd is just kind of creaking along there being old Todd, all of a sudden, boom, in a twinkling of an eye, boom, I will be the new Todd. I will have a new body. I will have a body that aligns with my identity as the in the kingdom of God, and I will rise and reign with Jesus and be part of his entourage that will come and judge the world. That's what the Bible teaches. But right now, I still have a bunch of Adam stuff, the old humanity, the old man. I've got this body that I got from Adam. I've got this personality that has this proneness to sin. That's the remaining sin. That's still remaining in there. That's who I am. And what this commandment is saying in verse 12, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Sin is not your boss anymore. Don't let it reign in you. You're out of that kingdom. You're out of that gang. You've been emancipated from it. Martin Lloyd-Jones, and I know I've used his illustration, but it's just so phenomenal. I'll use it again here. Martin Lloyd-Jones illustrates this so well when he again goes back to the history of the Civil War and he goes back to American slavery. After the Civil War, after emancipation, if a former slave is walking down the street and he lived his whole life under this master, this human master, he lived his whole life since he was a little child. He was programmed to respond when that master called. But now he's a free man. He's walking down the street, and that master is struggling to get some things into his wagon. And he says, hey, get over here and help me. He's going to initially, just by programming, he's going to start heading over there. But he gets halfway over there. He says, wait a minute. I'm not a slave anymore. You're not my master anymore. No. I'm not doing it. You pick them up. I'm walking this way because I'm a free man. And that's what Paul is saying we should be doing right now as new believers, as believers in Christ, as new creations, as those who are citizens of heaven, no longer under the reign of sin and death. We are to say no and not let sin reign in our mortal body. I'm not coming back. I'm emancipated. I'm done with you. That's the command. So that's command number two. Command number one, reckon who you are, dead in sin, alive to God. Command number two, don't let sin reign. Command number three, verse 13, verse half of it. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Do not present your members as instruments of righteousness to sin. Now, the word presents here means to literally to lay down beside something or to set it beside something or to offer something at somebody's disposal. That's how it's being used here. To offer something to somebody's disposal to use. Jesus used this word in Matthew 26:53 when he told Peter, put away his sword. He said, do you not know that there are six legions of angels whom the Father has put at my disposal that I could easily come down here and beat up these guys that are trying to arrest me? That's the word that's being used here. Now, look at the passage carefully. It says, do not present your members, do not offer to as disposable your members. And the word members here, again, remember, we're talking about the fact that this is, that means parts of a whole. Do not Do not give parts of your whole being, do not give your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your affections, your passions, do not give them over. Do not put them to the disposal of sin to use as sin would like to use them. That's what Paul is saying here. Notice again the text. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Instruments. The word actually means weapons. Weapons. Implements. Instruments or something like that. You know, if somebody came up here and was going crazy and was all drug infested and wanted to beat me up, and I grabbed this thing and this with this hard bass and went whack, I'm using this as an instrument, an implement. That's the word that's being used here. Do not present yourself to the disposal of sin as an instrument, as an implement to be used for the furthering of master sin's kingdom. That's what's being said here. No, don't present it to the old master. So, command number one, reckon yourself dead to sin, alive to God. Command number two, don't let sin reign. Command three, don't present yourself to sin to be used as implements for its kingdom. Command number four, it's also given in verse 13, and notice what it says. But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So there's the positive. God, here I am. I present myself to your disposal. Use me as you would like to your glory and to your honor. So those are the four commands, okay? Now, the word that's being used, again, this word present, in this context of presenting yourself to God, is the familiar word that's used in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, where Paul says this, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So there's the idea. Present yourself to God. And God, here I am at your disposal. And here it's outlined as a living sacrifice, as a living sacrifice. And then Paul gives the reason. Look at a reason, verse 14. He gives the four commands and he gives a reason. He says, for, now that for in is important because it's giving the ground or the reason for what he said earlier. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. This is the idea of realm transfer. You are no longer under the dominion of sin. You are no longer under the dominion of the law. You are under grace. And the word dominion here is the word lordship. Sin shall not have lordship over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. Now, you are not, in a sense, you're not under the law, you're under the realm of grace. Now, this does not mean, oh, yippee, now we're not under law, so we can do whatever we want. It used to be that thou shalt not murder, now we can murder. It used to be thou shalt not commit adultery, now we can commit adultery. It used to be thou shalt not steal, now we can steal. We're no longer under law. We can now do whatever we want. That's not what Paul's saying at all. What Paul is saying is this, when you were under the realm of sin, the dominion of sin, he's going to argue this quite in detail in chapter 7, but when you were under the dominion of sin, when the law came along and God sent the law actually made your situation worse, worse, because the law condemned you and the law made commandments that you couldn't keep and the law even stimulated you to sin. Paul's going to argue all of that. The law is good, he says, but we're under the reign and dominion of sin. And so all the law did was just make matters worse. But you're not under the law anymore. You're not under sin anymore. You're under grace. And with grace comes life and new creation. Grace comes resurrection life. With grace comes the power and the ability to actually fulfill the law and to walk in righteousness and to keep the law. And so therefore, understand that he's just simply bringing up this idea of realm transfer. But we confuse things and we have a lot of Adam still in us. And so we come up with stupid suggestions like Paul anticipates in verse 15. So in verse 15, we have a wicked suggestion. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Certainly not. And he's going to give many reasons, but this time he's going to focus on this. Now, before I show you the reasons, I want to kind of summarize it for you so that you'll see it in the text. Then you check me out to see if I did proper exegesis, but I want to summarize it. Paul is going to say this. This process of presenting yourself as instruments or implements to the disposal of another. That's what he said. Don't present yourself to sin. Present yourself to God. This process of presenting, whether it is to sin or to God, this process of presenting is transformative. It's transformative. What do I mean by that? I mean, if you do this, Paul says, and you keep doing this, here, sin, or here, God, it's going to transform you. It's going to change you. Let me put it like this. It's addictive. What other words did I have? Oh, it brings compulsion, compulsive behavior. It's habit forming, whether for good or for bad. You see, this is, Narcotics Anonymous. They encourage people to go to, if they're trying to get off narcotics, to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. So for 3 months, every single night, you will go to an NA meeting. What are they trying to do? They're trying to break the old patterns, and they're trying to start new patterns so that after 3 months of doing those new patterns, not that you have to go to a meeting all the time, but your old friendships, your old associations, your drug use, all of that is behind you now, and you're changing. That's what they're trying to do. And what I'm trying to say is this. This process of giving to either God or sin is transformative. It's going to transform you. It's going to change you. Now notice how he says that. That's what I think Paul is saying. Let's notice what he says. Look at verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey? It enslaves you, in other words. If you present yourself to somebody as a slave, you become enslaved, okay? That's what he's saying here. And you're that one slaves, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Bob Dylan wrote an old song called You Gotta Serve Somebody. And the song said you gotta either serve God or the devil. And he's right. And that's what's being said here in this text. You either serve sin or you serve God. But whomever you present yourself to serve, you will become enslaved to that person. There will be implications from that. That's not just a one and done thing. Well, okay, I'll serve you right now and then I'm going to walk away. No. You'll become enslaved. You'll become entangled. You'll become transformed for good or for bad. And he says here that slavery is going to lead you somewhere. See, Paul's used to seeing slaves who are chained, tied up, and drug away. In the Old Testament, when nations would come in and enslave Israel, they would tie them up, they would chain them up, and they would walk them for hundreds and hundreds of miles up to Babylon or to Assyria or down to Egypt, and that's where they would then live. And Paul is saying that if you enslave yourself to sin, sin is going to lead you, is going to lead you away. And where is sin going to lead you to? To death. Look at verse 16. Do you not know whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death. Now, what happens if you enslave yourself to God? You will be led to righteousness. And he's going to go on to say life, okay? Now, notice then what he says next in verse 17. He says this, but God be thanked that you, though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. So the gospel came to you. Thanks be to God, the gospel came to you. And verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. And that's what Paul is saying here as well. You are now a slave, but not a slave to sin, a slave of righteousness. Now, he understands that he's speaking in sort of human terms, and so look at verse 19. He says this, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, now notice this transformative effect, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. In other words, you present yourself to sin, here's my members, here I am, here, it's at your disposal. Use them as implements and instruments and even weapons for you. That is going to lead you to lawlessness and to sin and to more lawlessness and to more lawlessness and to more sin. On the other hand, If you present yourself, look at the end of verse 19, to God and say, God, here I am. I give myself to you, to your disposal, my parts, my members, all that I am, I give to you. That is going to lead to more and more righteousness and to holiness. That's what Paul is saying, okay? Now look at verse 20. For when we were slaves of sin, you were freed with regard to righteousness. You were in that realm. You weren't in the other realm. What fruit, but he does ask this important question, what fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? Remember when you were under the slavery of sin? Remember what was happening? Remember how you were getting worse and worse? Remember how you did things that you were ashamed of? And then he says this, for the end of those things is death. But now, verse 22, having been set free from sin, we've been emancipated, we're out of the gang, and having become slaves of God, we're in a new gang. We're under the lordship of God now. You have your fruit to holiness. Now we're bearing fruit to holiness, and in the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin, when you were under that realm, you were paid. You were paid. But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, and here he's used the word charisma. The gracious gift, the gift of grace, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So, there's the text. What do we do now? Well, we apply it. That's what you do with the Bible. We be hearers, now we be doers. What do we? And here's the question that we need to ask ourselves. You need to ask it. I need to ask it. Who are you, who am I going to serve? And that becomes a question every day. Who am I going to serve? It actually becomes a question every hour. Who am I going to serve? And it can sometimes come down to every minute. Okay, who do I choose to serve here? Who am I going to serve here? Am I going to go back? Am I emancipated slave? Am I going to go back to the plantation and back under that master, that cruel master? Or am I going to turn to God? That's the question. Who am I going to offer myself to as a slave? Who am I going to present myself to put at his disposal? Who am I going to obey? Here I am, give me orders, I will obey, I'm your slave. Who? Who's going to be my master? That's the issue that we face all the time. Again, not just once and forever. I mean, yes, hopefully you came to Christ, you said, I'm done with sin, I'm done. Baptism, that's what you symbolize. If you were baptized here, that's what you symbolize. You went under, you went back. I'm dead, I'm alive, I have a new servant, I serve now a new master. I'm done with the old life. But we also have to be making this decision constantly. And that's why Paul says when he gives his command, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God. Do not let sin reign over you. Do not present yourself to sin. Present yourself to God. This is an ongoing process of transformation that must take place. Now, you can say, I'll give you some examples. You can say to master sin, I will follow you. And master sin says, great. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to lust. I want you to burn with lust. I want you, if you're married, to forget your spouse, and I want you to lust after someone else. If you're single, I want you to lust. I want you to lust. I want you to look at another person, and I want you to treat that person as an absolute object. Treat them as a nothing, a nobody. I want you to think of that person as somebody that you're going to just use. Me, think of her or him as a mere body, as a piece of meat. Deny that that person is an image bearer of God. Deny that that person has dignity. Deny that that person is somebody's wife or somebody's sister or somebody's daughter. Deny that. Treat that person like a mannequin. Throw love out completely. This has nothing to do with love, nothing to do with commitment, nothing to do with that. It's lust. It's hate. It's like being an animal. Become an animal. Take that person like an animal. Think of that person as an animal. That's what Master Sin does. And if you say to Master Sin, yes, Master Sin, you can have my eyes. You can have my heart. You can have my mind. You can have my imagination. You can have my lust. You can have my body. Yes. Beware. It's transformative. It's addictive. It will make you an animal, and it will lead you to death. That's what Paul's arguing here. Well, maybe lust isn't what Master Sin's been calling you to. Maybe Master Sin has been calling you to envy and malice. And Master Sin says, I want you to burn with envy and malice. I want you to hate this other person because this other person has been more blessed than you. This other person has more money than you. This other person has more possessions than you. This other person has a nicer body than yours. This other person is smarter than you. This other person has had greater advantages than you do. I want you to walk around with a chip on your shoulder. I want you to walk around and be mean to that person and nasty to that person and hate that person because this person has been more blessed than you. I want you to roll your eyes whenever that person is mentioned. I want you to say, have nothing good to say about that person. And if you say to Master Sin, yes, Master Sin, I will do that. I will give myself over to envy. Here I am, I am yours. Use my eyes, use my heart, use my mind for envy. Beware, you will be transformed. Master Sin may want you to hate. I want you to hate. I want you to hate anybody that's different than you. I want you to give yourself over to malice. Hate people that are different than you. Hate people that dress weird. Hate people that think differently than you. Hate people that are of a different race than yours. Hate people that are a different culture than yours. Hate people that are a different religion than yours. I want you to hate them. I want you to think ill of them and ugly of them. I want you to be mean to them. I want you to be harsh toward them. Yes, Master Sin, I will do that. But beware, Paul says. It's going to transform you, and it's going to bring death into your heart, death into your soul, death into your mind, and ultimately death to your soul eternally. Master Sin might be calling some of us here to gossip. Master Sin says, I want you to gossip, and I want you to form little cliques of gossip. Get together with people who like to gossip with you and gossip about them. And form these little cliques and take sides. Master Sin says, I want your tongue so that you will talk this gossip. And I want your ears so you will listen to this gossip. And I want your heart to be engaged in this. And I want you to slay those people's reputations. Destroy their reputations with your gossip. I want you to embarrass them by the things that you say. Make up lies if you have to. I want you to highlight their bad. And I want you to amplify all of their mistakes. And I want you to point out all of their shortcomings. And I want you to drag them down into the mire. And it will make you feel better. Oh, it feels so good. That's what I want. So commit your ears, commit your tongue, commit your heart to gossip. And if you do, dear friends, it will transform you. And you'll become addicted to it. And it will make you a wicked, wicked person. And you will die. Now, Master Sin may finally ask you to just simply give yourself over to yourself. Make yourself the center of the world. Puff yourself up like an air bubble. Pump yourself up so that you're much bigger than you really, really actually are. I want you to have a big ego. I want you to think only about yourself. I want you to see everybody in your life in terms of how they will bless you, how they can help you, how you can use them, how they will add to this idolatry of yourself. I want you to exalt yourself. I want you to exalt your pleasures. I want you to exalt your status. I want you to exalt your happiness. And if people won't get on board and do this, flush them out of your life. And if you do that, you'll be transformed into this incredibly wicked, self-centered, imploded being. But the Christian should say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I am no longer a slave of you. I died to all of that. I died to you. I'm alive in Christ Jesus. I am under no obligation to follow you, Master Sin. That is conduct unbecoming a child of God. I am God's slave. I am God's servant. The passage in Abraham this morning, I once was in darkness. Now I'm a child of light. And I'm to live in the light. I'm a new creation. I'm a citizen of heaven. I am reckoning myself. I'm not dead to you. I'm not alive to you. I'm dead to you. Wait a minute. I'm an emancipated slave. I have been redeemed. I have been ransomed. And so what do we say then? We say, Lord, here's my body. Here's my mind. Here are my eyes. Here are my thoughts. Use them for your glory. Make me a pure man. Make me a holy man. Use me. Here, I put myself at your disposal to be a pure and a holy man. Help me not to be an animal who looks upon other people as just sex objects that I can use. Help me as a man to look on every other woman as I was looking upon my mother, if they're older women, or with the purity that I look upon my daughters, so that every other woman in my life is a person, a child of the living God, and is safe in my presence, and is affirmed as a woman, not as a thing or an object. And help her to feel safe. And use me for your glory that I would minister edification to all of them in my life. And God, I give myself to you. Use me to be pure in mind and in heart. But be careful. It's transformative. Praise God, it's transformative. It's transformative, though. God, I'm not going to use my tongue for gossip. No, God, I'm going to use my tongue well. God, I'm not going to give myself over to covetousness and greed. No. Abe read Ephesians 5:3, and look what Ephesians 5:3 says. Let's put it on the board here. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you. And I love this next line. Look at the next line. As is fitting for saints. Just hold that up for a second. As is fitting for saints. Look what Paul's doing here. Reckon yourselves. I'm a saint. I'm a child of God. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, that's not even going to be named among me. Why? Because I'm a saint. That's reckoning yourself. That's reckoning yourself. Dear friends, say, my tongue, my eyes, my heart is not to destroy my neighbor. It's to love my neighbor, to be concerned about my neighbor's well-being, to bring good into my well neighbor's life. Oh God, I give myself to you as an instrument. I present myself at your disposal. Use me that I could love my neighbor as myself, that I could extend grace, that I could give forgiveness, that I could be patient, that I could be kind, that I could be good, that I could be gentle and generous and helpful. God, help me, I pray. Help me, please. I give myself to you. Use me to that end. And dear friends, you put yourself under that slavery, and you will become enslaved to it, enslaved to goodness, enslaved to love, enslaved to righteousness, enslaved to patience. That's a good thing. God, I'm not going to give my tongue over, my mouth over to covetous and complaining and whining and bitterness. No, God, I'm going to give myself to you now. Use my tongue for thankfulness. Use my tongue for praise. Use my heart for thankfulness and praise. I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to think on good things. I'm not going to give myself over to anxiety and give myself over to covet, to worry. I'm going to give myself over to you. Here I am. Use me for your glory to these ends, God, and it'll be transformative. God, I want to be like Christ. I want to be others-oriented. I want to be sacrificial. I want to put the needs of others above me. Oh, God, I offer myself to you as a living sacrifice. Use me to that end that I would live my life as Christ lived, thinking of others over and above myself. And, dear friends, that'll be transformative. And if I would really urge you to go home today and reread the scripture reading that Abe read this morning. Reread it in light of what we looked at here, because as I was just listening to him read it, I was like, whoa, it's all so, I just read that as background, but I'd like you to reread that this afternoon or today and think about that, what Paul is doing there and how he's telling us that we should live. But dear friends, listen, if you do this constantly, if constantly by God's grace, you keep offering yourself to him, presenting yourself to him, you keep doing this over years, day after day, hour after hour, sometimes minute by minute, no, yes, no to sin, yes to God. God, here I am, yes, I present myself. You keep doing that day in and day out, month in and month out, year in and year out, decade in after decade, you're going to find the powerful transformation of God in your life. You're going to be transformed. You're going to be holy. As you walk in the Spirit, as you follow His leading, as you present yourself to God, you're going to find transformation in your life. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, some of you here may still be under the slavery of sin and death. And we are so sorry. We are so sad for you. You can't get free. See, if you're still under the realm of the authority and the power of slavery, of sin and death, you can't free yourself. You can't. It's more powerful than you. The transformation from the power of darkness to the kingdom of His beloved Son that Paul talks about in Colossians is a power move, and you don't have the power to do that move. You can't get out of the gang. The only way you can get out of the gang is to die. And this is why you keep failing in life. This is why you keep being drawn back to your sins. This is why you have addictions. This is why you hurt people around you. This is why you're so selfish, and you get upset with people when they're not recognizing how important you are. You're under the power of sin, and you cannot free yourself. You can try to be good, but you'll never be good enough because you're under the lordship of sin. Sin and death is your Lord. You're in Adam's old kingdom. But there's somebody who can save you. There's a person who can save you. An actual person can save you. Not a systematic system of behavioral modification, not a denomination. A person. You need a person to save you. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He came under the realm of sin. He took on the guilt of our sin. He took it all upon Himself because He lived a sinless life, and He died for all of His people to the reign and lordship of sin. And they threw His body into a tomb and put a big rock over it. But that couldn't hold Him. And He burst forth, and He rose again from the dead, never to die again, no longer under the realm of sin, no longer. He is as free as our brother was when he walked into that yard, gave up the gang, and walked out no longer a gang member. Jesus Christ is more free than that. He is free from death. He is free from all of those things, and now He walks in newness of life. And when you come to trust in Him, all of His victory and that transference from the kingdom, all of that becomes yours because you are Christ's, and you are one with Him, and you have united with Him, and all that He has done as your new Adam is now true about you. True about you. Jesus Christ can set you free. And Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Come to Jesus Christ. Come to Him and say, Lord, I give myself to You. That's what Paul described when he said this. Verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Notice this, it wasn't doctrine delivered to you, that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. In other words, when the gospel comes, God is offering this incredible deliverance, and God is giving you over to this beautiful, beautiful gospel. And all I'm saying is turn to Christ. Turn to Christ and plead with Him for grace. Give me grace. Transform me. Save me. Transfer me out of this power. I'm sick of this power of sin. I'm sick of the reign of sin. I'm sick of the reign of death. I'm sick of this dying world. I need You. I need forgiveness. I need eternal life. I need power. I need transformation. And they're all available in Christ. And here's the beautiful thing about Christ is anybody who comes to Him like that, He loves. He accepts. He saves. He never turned anybody aside who came to Him in that deliverance. He saves. He's a good Savior who saves. Oh, dear ones, if you are a child of sin, if you are under the slavery of sin, come. Come to the Savior, and you will have everlasting life. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you so much that you came into our lives. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for delivering such wretched sinners as we are and transferring us into your kingdom. Thank you for sending your Son so that this would be possible. Thank you for taking the death and the punishment, Lord Jesus, that the sons of Adam deserve. Thank you, as our Adam, you took that on as our head. And thank you that you purchased our salvation. Thank you. And thank you that we are no longer slaves of sin. We are no longer under the realm of sin. We are your slaves. We are your purchased people. And so here we are. We offer ourselves to you. Take us, we pray. We present right now. We lay at your disposal as living sacrifices all that we are. Afresh and anew, we give you our eyes, our ears, our tongues, our words, our hearts, our affections, our motives, our desires, our interests, our loves, our reputations, all of our possessions, everything that we are, we give to you, Lord Jesus. We lay them before you. Use them. Use us for your glory. Help us. And hear the cry, if any are crying to you this morning, pleading for forgiveness, pleading for life. Oh, Lord Jesus, you're such a good shepherd. Hear the sheep's voice, we pray. Bring them into everlasting life. We praise you and thank you in your precious name.